if we spend any time with the writings of St. Paul, we may find ourselves left scratching our heads. With a single sentence, sometimes encompassing an entire paragraph, his writing style would have him thrown out of Composition 101 in the year 2014. And the social and cultural references Paul uses in writing to his early first century struggling and budding church groups can be awkwardly attempted to be superimposed on a 20th or even 21st century culture and social context. Given this and other inconsistencies between what St. Paul was writing in his context to the very specific situations, the details of which are often clouded from our view, we should not be surprised if we sometimes find Paul's writings less than clear or even of little relevance to our own lives today. Today, however, I think we have a passage, or at least a snippet of a passage from the letter to the Romans that we can really relate to. Certainly there are others too, but perhaps the passage today, more than any other, is one that we can say, oh yeah, I get this one, me too. The reading begins, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." Yep. Even as a tried and true Episcopalian, I can yell out a big amen to that. Well, maybe not really yell it out, but at least I can think it. Paul continues in his convoluted Pauline style to explain why it is that he continues to fall prey to sin, or why he continues to do that which he doesn't want, and somehow doesn't quite manage to do that which he does want to do. He uses the term law often in this passage, as he does often in the whole letter to the Romans. This letter is Paul's exposition, his apology, his treatise on who may be included as followers of Christ, to which he says, everyone. But he also explains what that means to different folks. If you were a Jew, Paul says, then you are under the law, you are to follow the law. Following Christ does not mean that you totally abandon the law, but that there's a new law that ultimately overshadows the old law. If you were a Gentile, Paul says, then you are not under the Jewish law. The Jewish law was given by God to the Jews as a sign of the promise, the covenant, that was made between God and God's chosen people, the Jews. Paul changes in this one passage, changes his initial description of the law, as in the Jewish law, which shows people how to do what is right, and a new law, the law of human nature. The tendency to not do what is right is a constant struggle with the law of God, which is to do that which is good. And since we all have this ongoing struggle within ourselves, often portrayed in comic strips as a little devil on one shoulder and a little angel on the other shoulder, we might feel a little better to know that St. Paul also had these same struggles. The context in which he framed them was different than ours, however. We can see from this passage how very much steeped Paul was in the Neoplatonistic thinking of his day. Paul is very quick to associate evil, or that which is at tension with or even against God, with the physical, the material. In Neoplatonism, the material, that which is earthly and physical and has form, is not of God or the gods. Only that which is spiritual is good. There's a constant struggle between the inherently bad physicality of life and the inherently good spiritual nature of creatures or all things that take on matter. This duplicity of thinking obviously influences Paul very much. There's no way that it could not. That was the culture in which he lived. We could not influence him any more than our understanding in terms of our culture influences us. We know now that the earth orbits the sun and that things fall from gravity. We also have face-to-face, real-time conversations with people across the world. That influences our thinking. All of these and other more subtle and more overt factors in our world influence how we experience God and how we relate the gospel and that experience to each other. Still, the fact remains, even since the countless changes since Paul was writing, human nature does not change. We still struggle to do what is right, and we still find ourselves wishing that we had not done what was wrong. And we're still trying to make sense out of that reality in the light of the gospel, the good news of the love of God given us through Jesus Christ. At the end of this particular passage in Paul's letter to the Romans, he seems to become exasperated. He says, "Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death?" And then he seems to come to himself and remember that this is not just all about him and what he can or cannot do. It's about the forgiving, ever-open, and welcoming love of God. It's easy to be beaten down by our sense of failing and the daily struggles to do what's right. There's much that challenges us to forget who we are, to give in and follow a path that leads to death, a path of seeking our own comfort and security, our own desires and greed. There are many obstacles that come our way. Some we will be able to dodge, and some we will not. For some of us, it's easy to dwell on those things that burden us, that weigh us down, our shortcomings, our screw-ups, our failings, and our sins. When we get bogged down in the mire of self-loathing and self-pity, we need to remember the words of Jesus that we have from Matthew today. "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." How's that for good news? On one or more occasions, when Paul was talking about sin and grace, he would have this banter going on between he and an invisible questioner who would ask something to the effect of, "If God loves to offer grace and I love to sin, then shouldn't I sin all the more to give God the opportunity to offer more grace?" And then, of course, St. Paul's answer is always, "By no means." The freedom that we have been given in Christ and the assurance of pardon and forgiveness is not a command to intentionally go sinning boldly forward. It's a freedom and grace given so that we can put down the heavy burden of our sin and turn it over to Christ. Jesus says, "Yoke yourself to me and learn from me." If we're yoked to Christ, we can do nothing apart from him. He's right there with us, not just watching our every move, but directing it. He says, "Yoke yourself to me, attach yourself to me, and learn from me." And what are we to learn from him? To be gentle and humble in heart. Somehow imagine the more that we yoke ourselves to Christ, the more we truly will learn to be gentle and humble in heart. And the less we will find ourselves struggling with the burden and weight of our sins. Let's give it a try and see. Amen.